Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasatade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63, Verse 26. Kalo daivam karma jiva svabhavo Dravyam kshetram prana atma vikara Tat sangato bija roha pravahas Van Maya Isha Tani Shedam Prapodye. Daivam and destiny, karma, reactions of material work, and jiva, individual living energy, swabhava, his propensities, Dravyam, subtle form of matter. Kshetram, body. Prana, life air. Atma, false ego. Vikara, transformations. Tat, of all this. The Sangata, aggregate. Bija, of seed. Roha, sprout. Pravaha, constant flow. Tvat, your, maya, material illusory energy. Esha, this. Tat, of it. Nishedham, negation. Prapadye, I am approaching for shelter. Translation, time, fate, karma, the jiva and its propensities, the subtle material elements, the material body, life, fair, false ego, various senses, and totality of these as reflected in the living being's subtle body. All this constitutes your material illusory energy, maya, an endless cycle like that of seed and plant. I take shelter of you, the negation of this maya. Purport, the word bija roha pravaha is explained as follows. The conditioned soul accepts the material body with which he attempts to enjoy the material world. That body is the seed of future material existence because when a person acts with that body, he creates further reactions, karma, which grow into the obligation to accept another material body. In other words, material life is a chain of actions and reactions. The simple decision to surrender to the Supreme Lord releases the conditioned soul from this futile repetition of material growth and reaction. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the words Tannishedam Prapadye indicate that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is Nishedavadi Bhutam, the limit of negation. In other words, after all illusions negated, the absolute truth remains. The process of education may be succinctly described as a way of eradicating ignorance through the attainment of knowledge. Through inductive, deductive, and intuitive means, we attempt to refute the specious, illusory, and imperfect and elevate ourselves to the platform of full knowledge. Ultimately, when all illusion is negated, that which remains firmly in place is the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous text, the Shiva Jvara described the Supreme Lord as Sarvatmanam Kevalam Gyapti Matram, pure concentrated spiritual consciousness. And now the Shiva Jvara concludes his philosophical description of the Lord by saying in this text that the various aspects of material existence are also potencies of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti mentions that the Supreme Lord's own body and senses, as implied here by the word Tannishedam, are non-different from the Lord's pure spiritual existence. The Lord's body and senses are not external to him, nor do they cover him, but rather the Lord is identical with the spiritual form and senses. The full absolute truth, unlimited in fascinating diversity, is Lord Sri Krishna. Translation, time, fate, karmas, jiva and its propensities, the subtle material elements, the material body, life, air, false ego, various senses, and the totality of these as reflected in the living being's subtle body, all this constitutes your material illusory energy, maya, an endless cycle like that of seed and plant. I take shelter of you, the negation of this maya. So the Shiva Jvara is here actually giving a very philosophical explanation of the Supreme Lord. Though the Supreme Lord is standing before him in the form of Krishna, and does not need analysis in any way, because one simply perceives the Lord. According to scriptures, we have various ways of describing the Lord, which are standard in the various scriptures, including the Upanishads. So, unfortunately, different people interpret these words in different ways. One way of interpreting everything is that it has no meaning because, according to scripture itself, the Lord is not limited by words. He's not subject to words, not subject to mind, not subject to thought. So therefore, any word we describe him as is actually not really true. It can maybe give some indication, but it cannot directly indicate the Supreme Lord in any way. So that's one interpretation of all the descriptions of the Lord. Of course, the reason this is mentioned is, one reason is because if we take an impersonal interpretation of the scriptures, then when we talk about the Lord being bliss and consciousness, etc., it can't mean anything, because we will say, well, the Lord has consciousness and bliss, therefore he has qualities, therefore he's not without qualities. Right? Apart from that, of course, then other places we have descriptions of the form of the Lord and qualities of the Lord, etc., like Krishna and Rama, etc. One way of getting around this is saying no word can actually represent the Supreme Lord, so they're all symbolic in one sense only, and therefore you can start interpreting them in any particular way you want. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, there are many evidences in Scripture itself that will contradict such impersonal conclusions, because we do have descriptions as the Lord as creator, as in the second sutra of the Vedanta Sutras, Jama Jasi Yataha, from the Lord comes the material world, etc. Why make a statement if the world doesn't exist? And the Lord doesn't do anything. If the Lord doesn't do anything, then and there is no world created, then the statement becomes meaningless, Jama Jasi Yataha. Like that, we have many statements in Scripture which describe the Lord as the creator somehow. Here we find in this verse an expression of that Lord as the creator of the material world, etc. In other words, there is a material world which is real, and there is a Supreme Lord different from that, and it's dependent upon him. Here is a whole list of different things different from the Lord. So we have time, daiva, karma, jiva, svabhava, dravya, kshetra, prana, atma, vikara, sangata, etc. So all of this constitutes what we know as the material world. Within that material world, of course, we have a conscious entity, the jiva. And then we have these other factors, some of which are material factors, which we call dravya, like prakriti. And prakriti, of course, then expands into things like ahankara, mahatattva, material senses, pranas, etc., which are mentioned here. And then we have the subtle aspects of material energy. Time, which is not material at all, is separate from prakriti. Daiva, which we can say is fate or karma, the ability of actions to create reactions in the future. So that's a very subtle law of material energy, but it's not matter itself. But it's constitutional to the material world, and it doesn't exist in the spiritual world. So time also very subtle, very difficult to define that, except it gives us a perception of past, present, future. But it's not substance as such. And then we get karma. Of course, we have daiva and karma. So sometimes karma means the reactions, etc. But since daiva already means that, then it's not repeated. So therefore, karma here can mean action itself in the material world. Any action. An action, and it gives some sort of result.
in the material world, apart from the moral result we get from karma and sense of sinful activities give suffering, and punyas give happiness, etc. So any action in the material world has a little result to it. So that also is not material, that ability for action within the material world, which takes place within time sequence. An action has a beginning and an end. So we get the subtle aspects, then we get the conscious particle, the jiva in the material world, and then we get the gross aspects, starting with subtle prakriti and then mahatattva and ahankara, and then mind, and then sense objects, gross material elements, sense devatas, etc., and pranas. All of this combines together and produces material worlds and bodies for the living entities. And then the jiva gets the body and he interacts with the material world and he creates karma or daiva, so that it forces him into another body. And then he acts in that body and gets another body, another body, another body. So in this way we get a continual flow within the material, the body after body. So what is this? So two interpretations. It's all illusion. It doesn't really exist. Only Brahman exists. So that is Shankar's interpretation. Also, Buddha's interpretation. Everything is just actually figment of your imagination. So what exists is that Brahman. Or for the Buddhists, it's only mind. And mind also is illusory, but mind creates all these things in the material world. So the material world actually doesn't exist. So therefore, that's why we call it Maya, illusory. And then, how do we get out of the illusion? We negate it, and what's left is Brahman. So that's Shankara's interpretation. However, though the word Maya is used here, Maya does not always mean completely illusory. It refers to the material energy of the Lord, the Shakti of the Lord, his Maya Shakti, which is not illusory, it's real. And it consists of these different elements here. This is the other interpretation of Maya. It's real, not false. Nevertheless, the jiva is covered by this in the material world. He's covered by this Maya, this external energy of the Lord. The goal of scriptures is to release the jiva from this covering of ignorance. Then what happens? He realizes Supreme Lord. So that is represented here by Tannishetam. The opposite of all this Maya, I surrender to you who are the opposite or the negation of all this Maya. When the Maya disappears, then you are left, Supreme Lord, and I surrender to you. So this does not represent the impersonal philosophy. If we were to represent the impersonal philosophy, the Shiva Jvara could not say, I surrender to this, because he wouldn't exist at that point. There would only be Brahman, no Jiva even. But he says, I surrender to this Supreme Lord, who is the opposite of this material energy. So, in no way does the Shiva Jvara say that all of this Maya is absolutely illusory. So it's actually a product of the Supreme Lord. It's his manifestation, a transformation of his Shakti. So to accommodate everything, we accept that the Lord exists and he has Shaktis by which material world is created. So we have the Shakti manifesting in these different forms, transforming and then creating material world. And it's real. And we have his internal energy, which manifests as form, qualities, activities, name, etc., in the spiritual world. And they're both, that's real also. So therefore, the Lord has form, qualities, and activities which are real. But they're not like the form, qualities, and activities of this material world, which are related to this Maya, material energy. They are manifested through the internal energy of the Supreme Lord, spiritual energy. So, quite different. So because of that, we say that the form, qualities, and activities of the Lord are non-different from the Lord, because they're manifestations of His internal energy. Part of Himself. That means internal. Spiritual energy. So, because of that, there's no problem with the duality of jiva with the material body and karma, etc. The form, qualities, and activities of the Lord are non-different from Him and equally absolute, without limit. They are not a limitation upon the Supreme Lord. So this is the basic idea presented in the Bhagavatam. So, and we see here, Shivajvara, though he is actually a demon, he accepts his position of real world, real Supreme Lord with form, qualities, and activities who manifests in the spiritual world. And of course, the next verse it talks about how he expands himself in the material world. And of course, some will say, well, the Lord in the material world is actually in the gunas. He's a manifestation of Brahman with gunas, which is like a special living entity in the material world, a special jiva. That is what Supreme Lord is. But why would the Shivajvara surrender unto just an ordinary jiva or a special jiva in the material world? He's actually surrendering to a person who, through his inconceivable potency, manifests a form in the material world and performs activities which are completely spiritual. So therefore, the Bhagavatam presents the Supreme Lord as a personal God who has qualities and activities and creates a material world which is real, not illusory. So the purpose of scripture is to indicate how the jiva can get out of this position in the material world and realize the Supreme Lord. That's the whole purpose of scripture. So that's not presented in this verse, what is the process, but it's a little bit indicated, because here we find the word prapadye, which means surrender. So surrender is part of the process of bhakti. And we practice surrender, our sharanagati or sharanapati, as part of the process of bhakti. And through that, then we realize the Supreme Lord with His form, qualities, and activities. So, what is the advantage of this? The jiva attains cessation of suffering of all forms permanently, and he also gets happiness permanently. So this is the quest for the jiva in the material world, but he doesn't get it because he goes from body to body and gets temporary happiness and distress mixture at all times. So this process of surrender to the Lord and bhakti produces eternal cessation of miseries and eternal happiness. So this is the only process that will do that. Karma yoga is limited to the material world, and jnana and yoga will get rid of the material suffering but don't create the bliss. So the satisfaction of the jiva is both. We have to get eradication of the suffering and addition of the bliss. So that takes place through the process of bhakti. So we surrender to the Supreme Lord, who is the negation of everything in the material world, opposite of everything in the material world. And though words are limited, the words of Scripture are special. So actually, though the Lord is not to be described, or Brahman cannot be described by words, that is not absolutely true. The words of Scripture can describe the Lord. So that is why we find in the Scriptures descriptions of Supreme Lord. So Scripture is different from ordinary words. Only provision is that when you hear these words and understand these words, we cannot put material interpretation on them. But nevertheless, words can be used to express the Lord. So, therefore we say, we have to hear the Scripture, but we hear it through the Vaishnava. Then we get the proper meaning of the words. And through that, then we can get proper realization. So, though words look like they're material sound, the words of Scripture are not. So, the Vedas are actually sound, but they're eternal sound. And even if the world is destroyed, the Vedas are there. So they're not ordinary sound like material sound in this world. They're actually a very special sound. So not only the Vedas are special, but all of the Scriptures are special because they're they come from forms of the Supreme Lord or His great devotees. So Vyasadeva writes the Puranas and the Bhagavatam. So it is not ordinary sound at all. So words can express the Supreme Lord, provided they come from Scripture and they are heard through the proper medium. Then we get a direct idea about the Supreme Lord, etc. Therefore, that is why we study the Scriptures, in order to understand the nature of the Supreme Lord.
What is the difference, if any, between Sharanagati and Sharanapati?
Same thing. Sharanagati, Sharanapati, same thing. It's synonyms.
Okay. But again, this when you talk of a material body, there are so many angas, organs and all that. When you talk of the spiritual Lord, He is that, there is no difference between Himself and this body.
Yeah.
How to understand that, Maharaj? We are used to that.
Well, it's not dual in the sense that the Atma is in the body and the body is different than its material. We give up the body and the Atma continues. So the Lord's not like that, that He has a body and He gives up the body and takes another body. So the Lord and His body, etc., are non-different. They're all spiritual, and it arises through His spiritual Shakti. Nevertheless, we differentiate, the form is like this, it's a certain color, it has hands and its feet. So we make some particular differentiation there. So it's not that form is one with the Lord, that suddenly the form disappears. There is particularities in that form, and its qualities, etc. When we say He's one with His form and His qualities, etc., doesn't mean that the qualities disappear. So they create a distinction in the Supreme Lord, but they're in no way different from the nature of the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord is Satchitananda. His form is Satchitananda. His qualities are Satchitananda. It's all Satchitananda.
At the same time, when the living entity reaches the spiritual abode, what is the distinction between the Lord's body and the living entity's body, if any?
Body of the Lord. Well,
body of the Lord and the living entity.
We can say it's a distinction of the jiva and the Lord, more or less. That's all. So the jiva always remains anu. He's a dependent being. And the Lord is not dependent. He is independent. They are similar because jiva has knowledge. His nature is knowledge, like the Lord. His capacity for bliss, his activities, etc. So there's some similarity. But He is dependent. And the Lord is vibhu, great and all-pervading. And the jiva is anu, limited. So He's dependent and limited in some ways. Nevertheless, in the spiritual world, it looks as if He's unlimited because He can change His form into anything He wants to, if He so desires. He can go anywhere. He has remarmable powers, like, what do you call it, Sharshti. So as a yogi has powers in this material world, so in the spiritual world, automatically one has powers. But one may not exhibit those powers. It's the choice of the individual. But though He has powers, it's limited. certain things only the Lord can do. The Lord creates material worlds, the whole universe, except all the universes. Jiva cannot do that. This limitation on the jiva, even in the spiritual world.
When a living entity, there are living entities, Lord's associates, they are manifest in both in Gaur Leela as well as Vraj Leela at the same time. Is it the jiva's desire power or is it the Lord's mercy?
Well, it's through the Lord. It's through the arrangement of the Lord. Just as within the material world, in many universes, we'll find pastimes simultaneously taking place. And there is Nanda and Yasoda and all the cowherd boys and everyone is there. They're simultaneously in different universes doing that. So by the Lord's potency, they expand into different places also. So that's all but the will of the Lord ultimately. Now the jiva himself, to a limited degree, can also do that. He can have expansions and whatever, like Narada Muni can be in different planets and whatever like that. If the Lord has certain pastimes, then he makes the arrangements for the expansions of the jivas in different places.
Hare Krishna. Let's see, here is a prapadi is used. So that means the surrender. So Shivadar surrendered here, so he started following the bhakti. So is it possible for the newcomer, like without surrendering to the Lord, following bhakti?
Well, Jiva Goswami indicates that surrender is the first anga of bhakti, in a sense that if we don't surrender, in the sense that we think of ourselves as unqualified and small and dependent on the Supreme Lord, and we don't put any reliance on Him and take shelter of Him, then our bhakti would be rather activities without any feeling in them. We do the activities of bhakti, but we don't actually accept the Lord as the Supreme Protector. We don't take shelter of Him. So this becomes rather meaningless. So we have faith, we accept the Supreme Lord, and then we begin to trust Him, and we take Him as our protector, and we feel ourselves as unqualified, etc., karpanya. If that attitude of surrender is not there, then it's very difficult to do the other activities of bhakti sincerely.
Said normally in the beginning, you know, I was saying that newcomer, they don't have that much idea or realization about the Lord, but still they come to temple, they pay obeisances. So it's like the paying obeisance itself is an anga bhakti.
Yeah, it's anga bhakti.
Anga bhakti, but that means they are doing some bhakti without knowing.
Well, they're coming to the temple, so in one sense they have some understanding, maybe mixed understanding. They don't have a clear idea of the Supreme Lord, but at least they're offering their respects to the Lord, so they have, it's favorable at least, even if it's mixed with some misunderstanding or whatever. So yeah, we can say it's mixed bhakti.
You are saying that this material world is controlled by the Maya, and spiritual is controlled by Krishna's internal energy. And in the spiritual, we see only a spiritual body. We don't see material body in the spiritual world. What are the material world? As this material is governed by the Lord's external energy, so can you say can you see spiritual body in the material world? Because a spiritual body in the material world, I'm not saying that the Lord jiva.
Yeah. So when the Lord has pastimes in the material world, there are so many devotees. They have spiritual bodies, not material bodies. So the gopis dancing in the Rasa Lila have spiritual bodies, not material bodies. The cowherd boys associating with Krishna in the material world have spiritual bodies, not material bodies. Because anyone who participates with the Lord in his pastimes cannot be material, they have to be spiritual. Otherwise they cannot associate with the Lord.
So that means general people cannot understand this, that he has a spiritual body or not. Ordinary people cannot understand that body is spiritual or
they
material.
They think Krishna has a material body also. Sishupala and others, they think Krishna's got a material body and they try to kill him. Kamsa tries to kill Krishna thinking he's got a material body. They can see it, but they think it's material. Even Hiranyakasipu sees Narsimhadev, he thinks, he's another material entity, I'll try to kill him.
I think Maharaj, in the verse it is said that this Kala means time also, said that like, you know, manifestation of the external energy. In the translation I think it's mentioned, Kala, time.
Yeah.
Also said that is a manifestation of external energy,
yeah,
something like that. But we know that Kali is a Lord's energy, correct? It's Lord Himself.
Well, He says, I am time.
Yeah.
Yeah? Of course, also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am Maya, I am Prakriti, I am everything, I'm the womb of material energy. So yes, the Lord is everything. He is the universe also. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. The Lord is the material world also. So He is the material cause of the world. He's identical with the world because it's His Shakti. And the Shakti and the Lord are non-different, only in that sense that He is. So it's an aspect of the Lord. Material energy is His Shakti, so it's non-different from the Supreme Lord. So similarly, time is non-different from the Lord. So
time also, He says, time also like one of the energy of the Lord. Like the Kala Shakti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. External energy.
So it's a part of external energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord is known as Bhakta Vatsala. At the same time, He is also known as Karpanya Vatsala, which apparently looks kind of contradiction.
What is that? Yes.
The Lord is known as Bhakta Vatsala. Mm. At the same time, He is also Karpanya Vatsala.
Karpanya?
Karpanya Vatsala.
Ah, yeah. Those who are miserable or dinadayal or whatever like that. Huh? So, yes, the Lord is merciful to everyone. But He's more merciful to the devotees than anybody else. Yeah? So simply because people are suffering in the material world, we cannot say that the more you suffer in the material world, then the greater the mercy of the Lord. It doesn't always happen like that. People are suffering so much. But the devotee of the Lord is a little bit different. His suffering, because he's not really attached to the material body at all, His misery is he feels unqualified for the Lord. So that's his karpanya. the other aspect is because he feels unqualified, he also feels separation from the Lord. That he feels he will never meet the Lord. So this makes him more miserable. So the Lord is very merciful to such devotees who put themselves in this low position of complete surrender and thinking themselves unqualified, etc. But these are basically devotees.
So you are saying that according to Buddhist philosophy, that everything is a manifestation of the mind.
That's Buddhist idea.
Buddhist, yeah. So that means after liberation, according to them, that everything again...
There's no liberation in Buddhism.
That means...
Everything
to dissolve in the mind.
Yeah, everything dissolves even the mind and then nothing is left.
Then what about this? How they explain this? What about we see in the material world, there is so many activities are there. This, what does... According to Shankar, this is a Maya.
That's everybody's mind operating only. And if we stop all that, and then we're free of that. And then for us, nothing is there.
That means free means what? It means, I'm not understanding.
No more birth, no more death, no more karma, nothing.
There is no existence also then.
It is negation of everything here.
Means there is no existence of the individual also.
No. Nothing. There is no Atma in Buddhism.
That means instead of...
Atma is also a pigment of your mind.
That is the ignorance of the mind.
Yeah. And then you get rid of the mind, nothing, finished.
That means material is better than... At least here some, temporary, some happiness, some...
But also you get misery and karma. So that's considered not good. And then you get rid of everything, peace.
It's also like nothing. Almost like a Brahmajati.
Huh?
Almost like a Brahmajati, means, no body, nothing.
Yeah, well, Brahman said there is Brahman.
There is
no Brahman, nothing is there. That's Buddhist philosophy. Nothing is there. In Shankar's philosophy, yes, Brahman is there. But our Acharya's argument, it's similar to nothing. Because it's a consciousness of nothing. It's consciousness, but it's not conscious of anything, so then it doesn't mean anything. So it's equivalent to nothing. So that's why I call it covered Buddhism.
So like, can we say that like in the material also there are so many souls are just floating or living, but we cannot see that soul.
Mm-hmm.
So it is similar kind of things. Can we say in the Brahman? Brahman. In Brahman Jyoti means, you know, there is no, we cannot see anything, that what is, what
well,
exists, does
the,
exist.
For the Mayavadi, there are no jivas, it's all Brahman.
Yeah.
The jiva is only illusory.
But I'm saying that the Brahmavadi.
Brahmavadi.
Yeah, Brahmavadi, they accept the soul, but you know, it's like a conscious.
Yeah.
According to Brahmavadi.
Yeah. But if they attain liberation, then again it's liberation with no form, qualities, activities. So it's similar to the Mayavad. Even if they accept a real world and a real jiva, as in Nyaya philosophy, accept a real jiva. But ultimately impersonal again.